Rudis.
And I'm Paul.
And welcome, welcome to GamerCast, episode 27. Yes, I got it right.
No, you didn't. This is episode 5. No, we're back in time. Yeah, so Rudis is joining us again. His name is Rudis. R-O-O-D-I-S.
Yeah, R-O-O-D-I-S.
Not
to,
whatever that place
although
is.
I did like Rudis Nizzle. I did like that. I thought that was good.
Rudis Nizzle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose we'll start with letters.
Yeah.
Since that's what's on the notepad at the moment. Okay, we got a couple from Killy Pants Mafia. He says, okay, so this may seem kind of sad, and I give you permission to bash me forever.
Good, good.
If you just help me out, so I loved Halo, blah, 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 blah.
Really looking forward to Halo 3.
In short, enough of this, what? You read it.
What is it? I never played through Halo 2 in a short enough period of time that I ever picked up all the story. Got bits and pieces here and there, but never fully understood it. So all I'm asking is that you give me a brief, maybe a minute or two, overview of the plot from start of Halo 2 to the finish. I'm actually going to leave this to Paul because he's like an absolute expert.
Well, we're doing this second anyway. And oh, by the way, that was an excellent last podcast. I enjoyed the guest.
Yeah.
Rudis, Rodded this, and Rudis Nizzle.
Rudis Nizzle.
Okay, and he also said... Shut up. Shut up. He also said... Shut up.
It's your porn star name, man.
Right, that's it. I'm going on strike.
Sorry.
It's my Snoop Dogg now.
Yeah, go for it. Right, next.
He also sent... Okay, here's another question. This one involving Halo 3. In your previous 2-hour podcast, which was the most excellent, by the way. Hey, we didn't get any audio letters.
Yeah, where's our audio letters?
You talked quite a bit about what you thought the story of Halo 3 might contain. My question is, what gameplay changes do you think it will have?
That's a good point, actually.
New weapons,
talked about
features, etc.
Look more like old weapons, actually. He was holding the old battle rifle from the first game. And
yeah,
it was different.
It was
only slightly different. The barrel was only slightly longer. So I'm wondering if it's going to be a bullet hose like it was in the first one, or whether it's going to be a 3-shot thing.
It was a
lots of different modes. Bullet hose, punish, then they only have to do one gun.
That'd be a good idea. Yeah.
Pistol emulator. Like Judge Dredd's gun. It just does everything.
They're going to bring back the pistol from the first game where you could pwn anything with one shot.
Pwn all Covenant fleets with a pistol.
I would get behind a hunter, shoot it with a magnum. Yep, that's done.
I was looking forward to having that as double guns.
It would have been good.
That was my joy. It was like...
Well, I don't know. At least online in Halo 2, if you got... Well, before they patched it. Or if you got the submachine gun and the magnum, that was a really good combo online.
Mm.
Playing against people, because the magnum used to bring down the shield pretty quick, and then the submachine gun would just finish off whatever energy they had.
Yeah.
Alright, so what are we going to do first?
I imagine the story, seeing as that was the first one we read out.
Well, let's do gameplay first.
Okay. Let's not listen to me in the least.
No.
Okay, then, if you want to do gameplay first, what do you think they're going to change?
I think they're going to change the weapons, but they're going to change them only a bit from the other games and whatever. I mean, I don't want them to change the gameplay. The gameplay's solid.
Yeah. The gameplay did something, although an awful lot of people do criticise the... I've forgotten what engine it is they used, but the floaty engine where you drop anything, jump at all, and you've got the hang time.
They used to have a engine, but the gravity was lower than it should be.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But that's kind of that kind of defines Halo now, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I don't think
the jumpy...
Much, in a way, because that's something that makes Halo feel the way it is. Is the fact
exactly.
That they just float forever.
Because of the space elevator, the Earth lost so much mass.
Yeah, there
you
go. That's how you explain
the gravity of the Earth is low.
That or the fact that you're playing as a Spartan, so maybe that's how they jump. Maybe
he weighs 2 tons, so he floats more.
Yeah.
I think so.
He has a floaty engine in his feet. Otherwise,
when
he lands, he goes to the floor.
You could explain it on Halo 1 quite easily, because on a Halo, who's to say what the gravitational...
Well, the gravity is actually the same as Earth.
Shut up.
That's written in the... In one of the books, the gravity is the same as the Earth.
Oh, right, I see.
Which is another clue as
I should probably
to who built it.
I should probably read the books again. You show me the books, but you weren't going to buy them at first. You were going to try and wear them from some e-book place at first.
Don't pay for them.
What was I trying to wear the other day? It was a book, and I can't remember what book it was.
The Da Vinci Code.
I haven't yet seen that film yet.
Don't bother.
You don't want to. We spent the whole day talking about how crap it is.
I've watched Mission Impossible 3 now.
Well, we spent the whole day deciding that, you know, you get stuff like Windows for Dummies, those books. Decided that Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code book is actually literature for dummies. Anyone who likes it is a fucking idiot. And, you know, that's the end of that. So if anyone disagrees with me on that one as well, then, well...
Blame Adam.
Yeah, blame me. I don't know why. Okay. I want to fight.
New features in Halo 3.
I must admit, I think with the way that they're trying to emphasise
on
the
story... What new features can you have in it, though?
It's the fact that we were left at Halo 2 with a cliffhanger, and this obviously carries on.
An RTS format.
So, what I'm saying is... It's probably like all these new weapons that they've got. You know, it... Like, the pistol was like a new mark of the original pistol.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that this new this assault rifle you're seeing is probably
a new mark of the original assault rifle.
But they just never had them on the...
It will be different than the weapons in Halo 1, but...
Well, they've got the opportunity to look at the books, because they come up with a few new weapons in the books, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
They do at one point, yeah. I think it's in... I think it's in the Fall of Reach, or maybe that's just a Halo 2 weapons they come up with in there.
I wouldn't
actually
be surprised if Halo 2 weapons will be in this. And these Halo 3 weapons are supposed to be in Halo 2, but they just never had access to them. They're developed and made, but you just never picked one up.
Quite possibly. Okay, and features-wise, other than weapons, features-wise, I mean, what else can they do with it?
Well, hopefully they'll bring back the ability to play as an elite.
Yeah, that's bound... If they cut
that... story-wise? That would have made the whole Arbiter bit pointless. He's still alive at the end of the thing. He's with...
Around with Johnson.
He's with Johnson and...
Keyes.
Yeah, Keyes, isn't he? So
and the Monitor. Guilty Spark, whatever it is.
Is it Guilty Spark or is that the other one?
Guilty Spark is the blue one.
So who is the red one?
Penitent Tangent.
The blue one's the one from the first Halo as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right, I'm following now. So what happened to the red one?
He was, like, moldied up by the Gravemind dude.
Oh, okay, I see. Right.
I think one feature I hope that...
Which is why Gravemind had access to the teleportation network.
Okay. Yeah, of course, because the monitors can teleport, can't they?
Vehicles.
I think they're probably going to... We might see...
The return of the Halo 2 vehicles.
I think some of the variations that they showed in the early Halo 2 demo...
Yeah, the little bike and all those warthogs where you had the jungle one with the bigger tread...
Yeah.
And no glass, so you could shoot while driving.
You never know, you might get one of them.
Snow one as well.
You might get one of the warthogs like you had in Halo 1 on the PC, where they had the rocket launcher one that had the rocket pods on top of it instead and was black and yellow.
Mm.
They might put something like that into it if it's going to suit and work with the gameplay dynamic. I mean, you know, there's been all sorts of ideas they've had before that they haven't put in.
And it would be good to have leaning back and sprinting back.
Mm.
Did you have leaning
in the first one?
No.
They
never made it into Halo 2, even though they were in one of the
builds. They were involved, weren't they?
They were in one of the builds. But I think they took away leaning because it's not... It's a fast, action-y first-person shooter, but you don't lean around corners and ponce around.
Yeah.
It's in the way of a sneaking sort
and
of
then
thing.
Sprinting,
you're an action hero, so
sprinting would make you lower your weapons and run faster.
Mm.
That would be good as well, because then you could, like, I don't know, just like... Totally charge someone and
shoulder them.
Shoulder barge them, yeah. I mean, it's obviously not going to work on a hunter, but then you can absolutely fling grunts out of the way by just charging through a field of them.
That'd be good, using like physical.
Yeah, because, well, they always talk about in the books about how domineering they are.
Yeah, I mean, two-ton fucking.
They're all trained
tank.
In like crazy hand-to-hand combat. And while that doesn't often work that well, put into a first-person.
I tried it
and it didn't really work out very well.
I think it would work because look at the charge that you do with the sword, where you all of a sudden steamroll and
that's true. You could actually do that with just something where he just literally puts all his weight, where the chief just puts all his weight behind it and just.
Exactly. I mean, if a grunt is with any sort of range, you just a quick move of the hips and you kill him.
Hip
boom.
How can you be able to just pick him up and punt him? Punt him and just, like, you know,
scruff of the neck, drop kick,
60-yard punt or something like that. That'd be good.
Oh, that'd be good with the new physics engine.
They'd float forever.
I think one
going to orbit.
You could punt them at orbiting Covenant ships.
Then 20 minutes later, you see them up in orbit, going
just floating around every 20 minutes.
By the end of the game, every grunt you've kicked up in the air all of a sudden starts landing near you.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's raining grunts.
Any ideas? Well, not ideas, but any thoughts on online features? Anything they could change, or anything you'd like to see change compared to the original, compared to Halo 2's online component?
I must admit, I was a big fan of the whole headsets with the radio. The fact that you can only hear people in a set distance, and then that whole communicator is nice.
Well, you had to press the button to actually.
Yeah, I like the whole, and then it was running off
your
voice.
You had a radio which you could do to your whole team, or you could hear
anyone within a specific distance.
You could hear them, like, you know, talking rather than using the radio.
Yeah, yeah. Which was nice.
Mom, I want some chocolate milk. Oh, we didn't show you that.
Yeah,
did we?
We're going to show you that later. I think the other thing that is cool about it gives a sense of realism that you're talking on the radio, but an opposite member of the team can get close to you. It would be nice if they did something maybe more with that.
Exactly, because it was really clever, because the headset was only the radio. You'd hear people talking over the TV speakers.
Yeah.
I suppose they could try and put some kind of command system into it, because they work off the rank sort of thing, and actually have objectives that the highest ranking player on the team can set to other players. But knowing the way that the Halo 2 multiplayer massive sort of work, they probably wouldn't bother listening to anyone else anyway, because they certainly don't listen to anyone else at the moment.
Yeah.
Whether they're a noob or whether they're an experienced player, unless they're playing with people they know. The Halo 2 multiplayer people, on the whole, are about as disagreeable as you'll find anywhere.
There's a feature that would be quite nice that maybe for people that would do more clans, where the people that they're playing with, they know each other.
Yeah.
For team members only, that when someone's talking, maybe they use the camera so that you can see their face or something like that. I don't know. It's some sort of feature that we can't think of would be nice.
I think that camera will get brought into it an awful lot. But whether it's get brought into 360 games an awful lot. But
oh my god, I've got it.
Mapping your
face. Halo 3, everyone's got their webcams connected, and on a level where you've got, you know, a big TV display, you're going along, you see some dude on there, and it's one of the guys you're playing against.
That would be quite a nice feature.
You know, you're battling on a Covenant ship, and all the screens of all the people you're playing against, like,
yeah.
What, all randomly having fits?
Well, yeah, because the Halo 2 players do have fits, don't they?
Yeah, that's true, actually, they do.
Did you see the angry Halo kid?
Is that the one that just goes absolutely nuts and, like, slams his TV, slams the door, and walks out in the end?
Yeah,
yeah, I have
good.
Seen that. He needs some definite anger management.
And then he lagged out, and he says, "Oh my god, I lagged out, what the fuck?"
Yeah, I know, he was absolutely nuts.
Then he, like, started slamming the ground like a fucking monkey or something.
I've never seen anyone get so angry over a game.
One thing I would like is, when you played from the multiplayer of Halo up to Halo 2, I did love the customization of the characters.
Yeah, I think they could go further with that as well.
Yeah, because fair enough, you had
yeah,
loads
man,
of
they need
colours.
The Forza Motorsport customization where you can tweak your knees,
on the Master Chief.
Tweak your knee performance, and then tweak your arm performance.
Body kit on the Master Chief.
Get the neon lights under your feet.
Yeah,
there's lots of characters. It would be nice if you, like, you know, you could play as different types of elites, the big monkey dudes or.
Monkey dudes
or
well,
grunts.
We were talking about this earlier, weren't we? We were actually saying that you should actually just play as a grunt instead.
Yeah. Have the whole of Halo 3, you play as a grunt. Your mission is to generally bum around and, like,
do nothing. Occasionally scream, run away, and then get booted
then,
about
oh
by every other member.
You killed an elite! Run away! Run away!
Do you know what would be really cool if they had the cooperative mode from the first Perfect Dark? They had a cooperative where you could play the game normally, like single player, but the second person played as a proximity of each bad guy. So you'd see your mate running towards you, shoot him, and he'll take over the next bad guy further along the map. So every now and again, one of those people is...
That would be kind of cool.
What would be cool? Cooperative over LAN and internet.
I think that's something that should definitely give a go. That seems to be working out quite well with some games. I mean, I think it worked quite well with Splinter Cell, I heard. Chaos Theory and all that. And I think they did it in Pandora Tomorrow as well, didn't they? Or was it just Chaos Theory that they did the online component in?
Four-player cooperative.
That would be good. And then you can actually...
then you can
also,
just steamroller everything.
That's one thing I would like. Going back to the way you said about customization, I would like you to be able to select from the Spartans from the books, at least in multiplayer. So you could select just something a little different about each one of them. So you could play as the Master Chief, or you could play as Fred or Kelly or whatnot.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you could use the books to single out certain elites or something like that as well. That would be kind of cool.
You've got different elites anyway. You've got, you know, the red ones, the yellow ones, the blue ones,
just
the black ones.
Just something to acknowledge the
white ones.
The guards with the headdresses.
Yeah, you've got the uber prophet guards with their fancy hats.
Something to acknowledge the fact that those other Spartans are still around, or at least by the book.
Those the rebel-y type elites and grunts that were in Halo 2 that were going against the whole profit thing.
The ones.
They've got all the models there. It would be nice for them to just bring them across.
Yeah, they can't use the models from Halo 2 and Halo 3, can they?
No, but you know what I mean.
When you saw the quality of the Master Chief with his crappy cheap armor.
What I mean, is they're going to have the models for Halo 3. It'd be nice to port those across, and the Marines as well, to be able to play as a normal Marine with all the different suits you've seen.
The thing is, that doesn't work out, though, because the reason they chose Elites and Spartans in... because they're supposed to be equals. They're supposed to be each other's equal, effectively, and the fact that the Master Chief can beat the Hunter in the game is the idea that the Master Chief's like Uber Soldier. But the reason for using Elites and Spartans in the online part was they're supposed to be each other equal, so bringing in a normal...
I mean, in the books, the first time...
Oh yeah, that was more humour than anything.
Well, that's what I mean, it's just something a little bit...
But bringing in the actual... The problem then, you get arguments as well, because once you bring in, grunts or the normal Marines, they're also a lot smaller.
Yeah.
Further away, you've got a smaller target. Oh, if you'd been a Spartan, I would have pwned you then.
Yeah.
All that kind of rubbish.
Okay, I would say maybe the different marks of Spartan.
What, do you mean the armour?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Change of armour.
That'd be cool.
Just so that you
even if it was just visually.
Yeah, if it was just visually, not even a gameplay thing, it'd still be cool just to, you know.
I just want that whole visual customization between all your players, so you can customise...
Just make yourself look a bit more unique, though.
Yeah, because you've got the badges, I'd like them to go a bit further with that. I must admit, I think they've gone as far as they could with the different colours. You don't want to start going where you've got different colour pants to the top part of the armour or anything like that, because it's just going to get majorly psychedelic, but it'd be nice.
Or just use the Live Anywhere to sync it over to the PC and you can draw all over your Spartan.
Spray paint.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. Anyone could put anything, then, on the...
Which is that whole big deal why you couldn't have your own gamer score tag with any picture you want.
But then, of course, the camera's just going to make that a bad thing as well, anyway, because anyone could just film themselves doing anything on the game.
Yeah.
Which would probably be a bit controversial.
The thing is, though, when they bring out the live system for the PC, they're going to have some real strong protection to stop people
it'll get
playing.
Hacked.
It's
going to get hacked, and you're going to have people with 9 million gamer score, which happened on Xbox Live already. There was when the 360 first came out, they did have an error when one guy did actually have a gamer score of 9 million. But I think it was only a matter of hours before Microsoft sort of spotted the error and fixed it, but there was a guy who'd managed to get about 9 million gamer score from Condemned.
Sweet.
And I thought my 450 was reasonable for a game that's quite short that I couldn't be bothered to play through again to find everything. But 9 million, you know, put that to shame. But there you go.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
Halo 2 story.
Go, Paul.
Right. Halo 1, everyone knows what happened. Halo was destroyed. The Master Chief bums around, heads back to Earth.
Bums around for a bit, just generally lazes.
He has a smile.
Shut up. If you want to know what bumming around means, read First Strike and you'll find out.
I mean, taking his helmet off at the end of the game is bumming around.
Yeah, he's, you know,
relaxing with it. Chilling out.
Halo 2, back on Earth. Covenant attack Earth. The interesting thing, however, is this Covenant fleet was small, suggesting the Covenant didn't know the humans were on the planet Earth.
They do state that in the game as well, don't they? Eventually,
yes, they do. Cortana
says
that when they're driving along on the highway.
Yeah.
The Prophet of Regret realises, shit, I buggered up! And then legs it to Delta Halo. The Chief and all that lot follow him
Keys
on there.
And so on. Yeah,
all follow him on there. It's fair enough. During that time, you play as an elite who was the commander of the Halo forces.
In the first game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who got his butt kicked. And then he got slapped for being a silly monkey. And he was basically... He was given a death penalty, basically. But because he was... Because the Prophet of Truth recognised him as such a good warrior, even though he did lose, he made him the Arbiter. The Arbiter is something the Covenant have in times of great need, such as in previous events like the Grunt Uprising, the Taming of the Hunters, and so on. To have like these hardcore... Almost like the human Spartan for the Covenant.
They are supposed to be a martyr as well, though, aren't they? The Arbiter. They're supposed
to die.
Yeah,
they're suicidal.
Yeah.
They've got bombs strapped to them and walk into town. Eat this, you humans.
We have a terrorist on Wakadaka Street.
Right. Anyway, they all get together on Delta Halo. They all have a bit of a fight.
Oh.
The Arbiter learns the truth about the rings, i.e. they destroy all life.
And he sees that as being a bit of a problem for him personally.
Yeah, he sees that as being a problem. And so he sort of teams up with Johnson and that lot to stop the ring from being activated. Meanwhile, the Chief buggers off back to Earth following the Prophet of Truth because he's going to the Ark, which activates the rings. And
we
then,
think, at least.
Yeah, we believe. Well, no, the Monitor said it did.
The Monitor does, actually, yeah. It says what he can do at the Ark.
And that's basically the story. I mean,
it
we
ends
see
with him arriving back at Earth, just in Earth at all.
It ends with the Chief being back on Earth, with all the rings being put back into standby mode so they can be activated remotely. And then he says his line, "I'm here to finish this fight," or whatever it is.
Yeah, which of course turns up in the trailer and blah blah blah, and has made everyone think, "Oh, this will be the last Halo," when if it sells millions, then it's blatantly not going to be.
Hello, commercial marketing, money-making scheme. Let's just stop
prequel.
Doing it.
As long as the movie's not absolutely rubbish and kills off the series completely.
Well, that's
which
basically
is touch
the story.
And go.
But you can download the all the cutscenes, which will help the story a bit.
Yeah, that, you know, say the cutscenes run through the general trailer. Anything in between the cutscenes is just blowing the hell out of anything, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apart from the odd bit where
Cortana interjects and tells you.
Yeah. It
tells you
where
to come
it feels like
a
you're
a
doing
a
mini cutscene, but you're actually fighting through it, which is nice. I think
yeah,
it makes
but the cutscenes you
more.
Can download all the cutscenes, and that'll explain the story
sense. If you just Google for Halo 2 cutscenes, they're probably a download link from.
Yeah, they are.
So, right, so that's that done.
So. Superman.
You've got to speak up, because nobody can bloody hear you.
Hey, hear me now. Superman Returns by EA.
Sucks. It's in the gay.
I've been watching...
No, wait. EA sucks. It's in the comic. Relief.
Luckily, it looks like they're doing pretty much like what they did for Spider-Man 2, where it's a free-roaming... City of Metropolis.
It's a free-roaming City of Metropolis. Barely average game.
Yeah, you know, it's what you're expecting from that sort of thing. Now and again, there have been some comic book-style games that have actually pushed the boundaries of video games, but this is not one of them. Rudis is dying by death of the Eiffel Tower, so if he screams, don't worry.
Do not mess with the Eiffel Tower, man. It's a good weapon.
Yeah, he used it to open up a box of mice. Up there, the box of mice that he sucks on and drools.
The mice that killed my teeth.
That's why he's lost his teeth. It's not the coke, it's that mouse he sucks on. It's similar missions of... It's a little bit like Spider-Man where... I don't know, it looked like Superman was getting this kind of flashing halo around his head, like he could hear
halo.
Stuff.
And Superman is Jesus, you mean?
Maybe, I don't know.
There you go.
Let's see what the
sounds
Da Vinci
like
Code people
sounds
say
like
about
another
that.
Dan Brown book. Superman is Jesus. This revelation I found in another painting. It sent the Christian world into uproar. They really care about it this time.
It was a painting by a seven-year-old. All the comic book fans and all the Christians join up as an army against him.
Someone needs to get shot.
I must admit, from the flight bits they had where... I love Spider-Man 2 where you could just web-swing around and do bugger all and then just beat some bad guys up from time to time. It looks like they've got the same aspect there.
So not really much of a game, just occasionally beating people up.
There is the storyline in there.
Somewhere. Underneath all the crazy beating people up and flying.
All it was showing with Superman
like
flying.
Paedophile with your pants on outside. Yeah.
The cool thing is you can go up and pick up anybody's car. You can pick up some pretentious car and just lob it.
Surely that's just, you know, unnecessary damage of property. Now, I'm sorry, but the Americans weren't allowed to do that or the British tank people weren't allowed to do that in World War II, so... Why on earth would Superman be allowed to do it now?
Because he's Superman. There's plenty of... like Superman on the Xbox, which was, I think, one of the only best Superman games actually made. They have got this whole nice ability to pick things up which are way bigger than yourself, which gives a nice sense of strength. Heat vision, which is quite cool. That's nicely done. And blowing stuff off.
I don't read Russian, Paul.
We're reading Russian now.
Carry on talking, you big idiot.
Okay.
Paul's hearing in Russian. I just can't read it.
Saw a little bit of an action against Boss, which is pretty much spherical.
Which Boss?
And
anyone we should recognise?
That's the thing, it was some big...
Alpha 152 from fucking Dead or Alive.
Yeah, right.
It was some massive big electric weird...
An electric
dude.
Weird thing.
Giant.
Electric wheelchair.
Oh my god.
No, not
you
a massive
you electric wheelchair with the Boss
giant
Superman.
A giant electric man, which I think they've gone the same route as like the Spider-Man area where they were bringing in bad guys from the series... and from the comic books to fill in so that they were having something
because
to do.
Because they were out of ideas.
Because or just to make it link to the rest of the Superman thing, so it doesn't seem like they just made a game and pasted Superman into the middle of it and then called it Superman.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's Superman Returns, is running up the basic storyline of the film, but with all the bad guys.
So it's
from
basically another half-assed movie tie-in.
Yeah, but then I don't know.
Yeah,
Spider-Man,
I don't think
so. Have you ever played Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, I did, and the only person I knew that liked it was a rabid Spider-Man fan.
And me.
And you, which you're probably a Spider-Man fan.
Yeah, so for the fans, I think it will just emphasise that ability to be able
and
to
something
crave.
Something odd I've got about a guy who can shoot white sticky stuff out of his wrists and then swings around in a bodysuit, hiding his face. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just odd.
What about when he's in the black suit?
Well, then that's just more sadomasochist, isn't it?
And he don't come out of his wrist, they come out
of
his knuckles.
I'm not quite sure whether it was a... Is it Stan Lee, the Marvel guy? He did X-Men. Did he do Spider-Man as well?
Yes, he did Spider-Man.
He did, didn't he?
And the Hulk.
He keeps coming up with people in Lycra, and I'm sorry, but the only people who wear Lycra these days are sports people, or, well, that's
well,
about
this
it,
is
or
he's
weird
got, he's got loads of people, loads of
fetishists.
A whole load of people, a gang of people in Lycra. Then he's got some big green bloke in a pair of purple shorts.
That's true.
A guy who's completely surrounded in a metal tin suit. You know, that's the whole claustrophobia thing going there. Yeah. And Spider-Man, who's completely in Lycra.
Bow chicka bow wow.
Exactly.
But he did give the world Rogue as well, which
yeah, and no that is one thing.
About.
I really hope that they kept it a secret for release on in England at least on the 25th this month, this Thursday. X-Men: Last Stand is out, and I hope they try and.
There's only one problem with that. Warner Brothers managed to sling too much money at Bryan Singer and he left to go and do Superman instead, didn't he? Because
yeah.
They said that he could do a bunch of his other movies as well. And he's what made the first two X-Men movies so
yeah.
good. And that's going to be the problem.
It's all
well,
right.
That might
that.
Be the problem. Because I believe the new director here is the Rush Hour 2 director.
Yeah, but
yeah.
from the looks of it,
not
it does
exactly
look good.
The usual suspects quality stuff, is it?
Yeah, I think what's happened is he's managed to get a bit more action in here, which some people were saying was lacking in the other X-Men
yeah,
films.
Yeah, it was all about character development, that's a good thing.
Yeah, but I think you've got enough
telling
Wolverine's
story.
I think it's ready for a battle now.
Which well, it's going to be, since it's the last stand. It's going
yeah.
to
the
last stand.
There's one thing
with
that's
talking.
Missing. Rogue is missing. That is the thing that's pissing me off.
Well, she's in a new one.
Yeah, but not the Rogue that everybody knows later on in the comic books. Because it's the original Rogue. The Rogue before Mystique managed to dupe her into attacking a superhero and draining all of her essence and soul into her body.
You've lost me. I'm not...
Rogue originally...
not a big fan. Well,
her only powers were to be able to steal...
We can't say we know what the fuck you're talking
okay.
about.
Yeah. Rogue's powers is...
Do you know these people actually spend money on comic books?
Rogue Paris
has
the ability to steal other mutants' powers
and
their energy
do that.
And their memories.
That's because you can't be bothered to pay for them and you can't be bothered to wear them either.
Ready?
So well, wear them is too much hassle.
You understand her powers from the
things.
First two.
Huh?
You understand her powers from the first
yeah,
two.
Yeah, she just touches anyone and she
yeah.
absorbs their power for it.
Later on, she's duped in by Mystique, who
okay.
pretends to be her mum, to take control over... I know someone's going to say something about this. In the
Why?
Things layer
because
there's
get it
so
wrong.
No, there are so many versions of it.
Uh-huh.
But basically, she ends up taking a superhero's powers by holding on for too long. I'm being attacked! No!
By a pink anteater.
It's a clanger, be
it's
nice.
It's a clanger, they're cool.
It's a clanger.
Have you never seen clangers? We won't get on the clangers yet, let me finish what I'm saying. And she holds on for too long and takes her powers permanently. So Rogue ends
oh,
up with
no,
the ability to fly. And he's pretty much indestructible.
I remember something about that, yeah, because they explained that in one of the games or something like that, I can't remember.
But one thing that I do like is the fact that at least the whole Bobby running off with another woman thing, Iceman in other words, running off with another woman and leaving her.
That happens.
That
it?
Does happen, because
cool.
she gets real pissed off about it. And that's
that
when
all about the drama.
And that's when Gambit comes in, and that's why there's a bit of a...
Right.
hardship with them trying to get together, because she's always worried he's
okay.
going to bugger off because he can't get any, because as soon as you try to get some you pass out and go into a coma.
So after one of our slight divergence,
Superman Returns.
Superman Returns looks
I
good
would say
then.
Pretty much if you like Superman and you like playing Spider-Man 2 game, you will love this game. It's basically the same thing apart from you're flying around, you can destroy buildings, rip off the top of a skyscraper, throw it at someone's head, pick up a car, throw it at someone else's head, heat vision, blow stuff over, Kate flies around, you know.
So we've established Superman Returns looks like it might be good, and the X-Men movie could be good, it might be shit, and Rogue's not able to fly.
I from what they've said, because they're basically showing in all the good stuff, but then I keep seeing more good stuff.
So just watch the trailer, don't bother going and seeing the movie, and then you've seen all the good parts.
Well, there's a bit advertised that's not in either of the trailers, which is for some card thing that they...
That's the key.
Some stupid game that you can buy for X-Men or something like that. And it shows a real cool line that I've heard before in the comic books, where Wolverine gets Colossus, because he doesn't call him Colossus, he calls him Tin Man.
Shadow of the Tin Man.
And he gets Wolverine to pick him up by the scruff of the neck and the of the suit and throws him. But yeah, it looks really good. I can't wait for Thursday.
Alright, so we're going to touch on the clangers briefly.
Yeah, clangers. You don't know what a clanger is, do you?
Apparently I don't. It just looks like a...
It's a program my dad used to watch when he was a kid. It's an animation where these pink things that are called clangers live on planet.
Some planet.
And they go around and they collect soup from the soup dragon that lives in a hole.
It sounds like as much of an acid trip as the magic, roundabout.
It's up there.
Was.
It's up there with the roundabout. Although this should have been made into a CG movie, not the magic roundabout. But yeah, that's the clangers. The clangers.
I see. So about 12 years before I was even born.
Mm-hmm.
Right, heavy rain. I know it's not currently raining at the moment, although it was earlier on quite heavily.
Yeah, it was.
My mum came in and woke me up because she thought my window was open. She actually expected...
You were in bed at 4 o'clock.
No, I was in bed until 10 this morning because I nearly fell asleep behind the wheel of the car coming back from Wales because I hadn't got any sleep.
And because you were drunk.
No, I wasn't drunk. I'd recovered from that. It's because I was...
No, I wasn't drunk.
I was up all night with a lady.
You were what? What was this? About a lady? What's a lady?
I don't know, but whatever it was, I was
like
in bed.
A clanger.
So, because of that...
Looks like a clanger.
Because of that, I ended staying up late, and I was driving back, and I managed to get across the Severn Bridge, and I started nodding, so I pulled over at a gas station and went to sleep.
What, nodding?
Look, I know we're talking about kids' TV shows, but we don't want to talk about fucking Noddy.
Noddy?
Nodding.
I turned into Noddy, so I pulled over.
Well, Noddy's got a car.
My purple car's
got a car.
Little red car. Mine's purple.
And not convertible. He's got a Pimpernickel.
He knows where it's at.
All he needs to do.
Kevin Bigger is go out and
just
get
needs
stuff,
to get some
it?
Hydraulics on that thing. Some white leather, big hat.
Noddy and Bigger is just going around.
Damn right, yeah. Gangster leaning all the way around in their car, picking up hoes.
That's a new game.
A new cartoon altogether, that is.
Right, so Heavy Rain, what does Mr. Chris think about it?
You mean Rudis, as you're calling me now.
Yeah, Rudis.
I'm not allowed to be called Chris, am I?
Comrade Rudis.
Comrade Rudis. Heavy Rain. I thought the story that they put behind it was really, really good for that little PS3 tech demo that they did, and the voice acting was really good, but after that I wasn't overly impressed. The environment, the kitchen that she was in, that was quite cool. Although, they didn't really move around it too much, so you couldn't really tell how detailed it was, or whether they were just textures just on the front of everything. Anything like that, and she did seem to be constantly smiling even when she was talking, which isn't very, very easy to do actually. Because if you think about it, when you actually try and talk without actually having your top lip cut off, then how do you like show your top teeth the whole time you're talking properly? And she's doing that all the way through it.
Yeah, there's actually a thing I was watching a program about this kid that can't smile because it's up
because she has a snake face.
It's up like that, so she her teeth.
Because she's one of the interbred monkeys.
It was a deformity in her mouth, and because of that, she was unable to smile. Because it takes more muscles to smile than it does to frown. So
I thought it's the other way around.
Yeah, I find it difficult to smile.
So because
that's because I'm a miserable bastard. I don't know.
So I think it's pretty much impossible to try and. You're trying to do something.
I know. Her teeth just seem to be out the whole time.
You know, like if you're trying to play a prank on someone, you're trying to talk to them. Yeah. Really seriously, and as soon as you break and you all of a sudden start smiling,
you can't talk
your
properly.
Mouth, it feels like someone's going in your face and you're like, I can't talk, help me!
But yeah, no, her teeth seem to be constantly out, and once you got sort of like close into her, the texture on her skin just didn't really seem to be there. It just looked like that old school sort of, Final Fantasy VIII looking perfectly smooth.
A nice complexion.
Yeah, there was no bump mapping or anything like that. I'm not talking about, necessarily having a crater face where she's had acne for the, fiercely when she was younger and just...
You need to get people so...
Total scarring now. But she just didn't even have just your average kind of facial texture.
You know when you've got to the limit when you play a game and you have to shave your character because it'll get the morning stubble as you're playing the game. And if you don't get in shave in the morning, by the end of the action game, you've just got a full-grown beard.
That'd be good. But no... you know, the environment looked good on it. And but as I said, the best thing about the Heavy Rain demo was the story and the voice actor. After that, it didn't look particularly next gen to me.
I've only seen a picture, and it looked like it was raining. Is there any rain in there?
Oh yeah, no, it's raining outside, and it's thunder and lightning, and it makes it all very broody atmosphere because she shot her husband for cheating on her, and blah blah blah, and hell hath no
murder
scorn, like a,
is wrong.
Hell hath no fury like a woman in scorn, and so on like that. You actually made a point, didn't you, earlier?
Did I?
Yeah, about it. Not you said something about Half-Life 2. And
yeah, it looks like Half-Life 2.
Texture
and lighting are better than Half-Life 2, but animation and stuff, that's worse.
I wonder if someone just built
yeah,
really
the motion
good
capture isn't anything that you can do with
the
PlayStation 2, really,
is it? I bet someone basically designed a rain engine, and then someone thought, let's make a game where it rains all the time.
It might well be done. It's done by the same people who did Fahrenheit, so if they managed to make a game as good as that, I mean, Fahrenheit was pretty good.
Yeah, if they can get
something... I mean, visually, it looked awful.
Yeah. I imagine
it was absolutely ugly.
That tech demo with the complexity and of the story plot
and the choice of Fahrenheit would be good. Yeah,
yeah, that would.
But
rock.
No, Fahrenheit was fugly.
Because I liked that because it was more like a novel, but in the sense that you had a choice to go, and then everything else would is like in let's say about alternate realities. The fact that once that choice is made, everything else corresponding afterwards would change slightly. So I like a game like that because you feel like you can do something.
That's probably I imagine that Quantic Dream are probably going to go the same way with this sort of Heavy Rain thing as or try and build on what they did with Fahrenheit, because while it wasn't a massive seller, it was critically successful. People that bought it liked it, and journalists and so on, it got good reviews in magazines, deservedly so as well. It was an interesting end. It was actually just another example of someone trying to do something just a little different.
Yeah, it's that aspect of being able to. They always kept saying, "Oh, in the future, it'll be interactive movies."
That's a fantastic idea. It's for some people. It's not for everyone. It's not like every game should go that way.
But I like the idea of having it should be a new genre of something that's a little bit more as detailed as a book, sort of aspect. Like that whole, there's more of a plot line is more important than major gameplay. Sorry, we're making Paul fall asleep.
Even though he brought Heavy Rain up in the first place.
It's not my fault.
We're going to have to unplug get some wires with a USB attachment, plug it in, and we can shock him back to awakeness.
You're going to shock me to death with a USB cable.
I think you said something else about that Heavy Rain demo. Something about her arm or something.
Yeah, if you look at the model, the arm like folds up when she moves it.
Yeah, it looks
really nasty.
I remember they did that really, really badly in all the cutscenes for Resident Evil Code Veronica. Whenever Clara Field's arms bent, it just looked like it was just two poles.
I shall put something
together
in there. Trying to do the deformity rig for the elbow is one of it's like basically there's points that are really crap. Elbows, knees, and your ass are the hardest things to get to deform properly and actually.
But
make
it has been done reasonably well.
Yeah, it all depends on the character.
I mean, admittedly,
design.
This is an early demo as well, so
look,
we can't.
The people that do I can't remember their latest game, but basically
Postman Pat.
Oh, Clangers. Time
Nightmare
Splitters.
Splitters. That's it. What the
Free Radical.
Free Radical. If you look at, because we had the head of Free Radical come to our university and he showed us his showreel, and he's animated quite a lot of the characters from the latest time thingy game.
Time Splitters.
Time Splitters.
Or Future Perfect or something. Isn't it?
And he
with the monkey face CD.
Oh, what was their last game that
very
they had
cool
where
CD.
You played that guy that had the psychic powers? That I was really into.
Psycho Nutcase.
Second Sight or something. That was good. That was a good game.
But he was showing us one of the things that they've been doing with the fact of having bands around people's arms and stuff through being able to get around the deformity of the actual wrist. So the watches, they had a stylisticness of the really chunky watches and stuff, and it really did help to be able to get that in the cuffs and stuff
like that. But she's got clothes on, and you know, you can't, if you're going to put a watch around your elbow, it's going to look kind of funny.
You can get away with doing that these days. I mean, you look at stuff like NBA 2K6 where they've actually got cloth deforming over the model quite well.
And it hides.
You get around it that way, then just, you know, do that with
a shirt. At the end of the day, all you've got is polygons and all of these points in between. They have to be shared between each bone. So you've got a bone in your forearm and a bone in your upper arm, and the ones in the middle are sharing influence between each bone, so that they're not. Otherwise, you will just get pure crease if all of one side of the arm follows one place and one of the other. But as they are, and it's also that stretch around the elbow. If you look at Shrek, they got around a lot of the problems with Shrek By actually not having it built around a bog standard skeleton inside, they actually built the organs and everything in it, so it had something proper to deform over across. That's why you got the jiggling belly and everything like that. Obviously, trying to do that in a video game, people are saying, well,
it's going to suck our memory.
Is there a need? Do we need to go that detailed yet? It all depends on the modelling and who they've got modelling. It will determine the greatness of it.
If they've got someone like Chris trying to do it, then he might be able to load the application and maybe draw a line, and that's it. If they've got someone like Adam doing it, he can make a transformer move.
Well, I just get my own real transformer and make that move instead.
What, your red car?
Yeah.
Does it have a button?
It's sideswipe.
Sideswipe rocks.
Yeah, sideswipe was a fourth one day.
My sideswipe. I had sideswipe. That's order.
What?
Sideswipe was my first transformer, but his wheels falling off.
Okay, next. 99 noobs.
99 noobs.
99 noobs.
The first stuff I saw of this, the first stuff I actually heard about this was a PS3 version, but they are doing it. They're doing a 360 version now as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
At first, I thought it was a Sony only thing, but I'm not quite sure who's actually developing it.
Cutscenes look absolutely amazing.
Is it a Capcom thing?
I don't think so, because he didn't come up with Capcom straight away.
Because Capcom cutscenes have been very good recently.
Yeah, they have been. They've been pushing
the boat.
Obviously,
Square Enix always managed cutscenes quite well, but
that's what the feel that it had with this. It had really good cutscenes, and it had felt like someone was throwing a decent.
So someone Japanese then.
Yeah, it is definitely Japanese, and the storyline's being pushed in because the whole thing was subtitled.
From what I could tell, it seems to be another one of these games where you've got a massive battlefield and you play as one guy within massive fights.
Yeah, it's got that whole aspect, a bit like Destiny War. So all the people that love that sort of game will be absolutely most lucky. I was saying to Paul earlier before you got here, it's got the similar feel to Cameo on the sense of an expanding army. You've got more men and they're a little bit harder detail. On some of the, you couldn't tell if it was a cutscene or it was actually playing just before you actually started playing as in-game, but you had all this armies piling over a hill and then merging down to another army, and they were just filtering in as they were attacking each other, and it feels like you were just jumping into the middle of that, and very much kind of like, oh, you've got a big sword, I can knock as many of you over as well, do a magic swing and everything blows up. But they feel like he's got a very much kind of like a Final Fantasy feel, where everybody's got a different aspect. It's not just loads of these people, samurai warriors with large poles. You know, there was a girl that had kind of like a wizard hat, and she was pulling up water and throwing it at people. And it felt like they were people
throwing water at people. Oh no!
Water can hurt if you throw it fast enough.
Some poncy girl can't throw it fast enough.
But yeah,
you need a massive cannon.
You throw water like a girl.
But yeah, it looked absolutely amazing. To be honest, if you're a Destiny Warrior sort of fan, then yeah.
If you like mindless action.
It's going to be the next thing of being able to run around and smash the crap out of their massive big armies. But if you saw Destiny Warriors and you've ever played it and you were kind of like, yeah, I will never buy this sort of game again, then this is one of those you don't want to go buy. Especially at the prices of games that are coming out these days.
They're getting cheaper. What game's coming out? £40.
That's a good point. What, we've got table tennis, $29.99. All the 2K Sports stuff was $39.99, wasn't it? Well,
yep.
360 releases at least.
Yeah, which was nice.
In your face, PS3.
There's no real excuse, really, for the £50 price tag, I don't think, because most of the stuff that came out on the 360.
All the Microsoft stuff was £45.
But most of the stuff that came out on the 360 was ports for the most part, anyway, and I'm sorry, but it didn't cost
£50 quid gun, fuck
off. Yeah, it didn't cost them that much to port it. They didn't have to develop it from scratch. It didn't take too much more time to do a 360 version. They just. Maybe, upped the textures early, or at least used the original size textures they had, maybe, or something like that. Put a bit of anti-aliasing on it, a bit more shiny effects, and then repackaged it at £50. And there was no real excuse for that at the moment. Maybe when they actually start having more dedicated titles that are really taking advantage of the system at a later date, but...
I mean, Oblivion, yeah, they could charge 70, 80 quid for, in my opinion.
Mm. I'd have stolen it.
You stole it anyway.
To be honest,
only the PC version.
At least we know that by the time
I own the expensive version. I got the expensive 360 special edition.
The good thing is we know that this price thing is going to fade out by the time the Xbox fades out.
Everything eventually will be free.
Yes, and children will hold hands and do dances around the world. Well, bunnies.
Sure, why not?
Bounce around and...
They want to do that?
Leprechauns throw sweets or Lucky Charms or whatever
Leprechaun
they think that they...
And no one is ever murdered or raped or sold insurance or cheap credit card.
Murdered, raped, insurance.
They see they're all in the same kind of category for bad things, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
If you so basically, any insurance brokers out there, anyone like that, you're just as bad as a murderer or a rapist.
Yeah, you're up there with lawyers.
Yeah.
I want to do lawyers
is further on because they defend insurance.
I've got something I
want to
jump onto. You know they're going on about
this girl that you were.
No, we'll get on to that later. You know they're on about this whole ID cards sort of thing. And they're going about, it's going against people's rights and the whole...
There are these biometric ID
people stealing other people's identities. I think that's up there with recycling. It's not our fault, it's someone else's. It's the guy that packages it, and it's the banks that send you credit card forms through the post, and you just throw them in the bin, and then some asshole goes through your rubbish and fills it in for you, and then nicks all your money because they use a credit card.
Well, then, just a simple answer to that, buy a shredder and shred it so you can't
pay it. I never want a credit card. I get around about 4 to 6 of these a month, and it's
You're already in about £20,000 worth of debt, aren't you?
You chose to go to university, to be fair. That's your own fault. You can't blame anyone else but yourself.
The 25,000 odds, whatever it is, I can pay. I don't have to pay back. I can die owing that. It's the 1,300 quid they want by June that I'm buggered about.
Well, get a job then, you hippie.
I got a job. I finally got one.
Skivvy stoner.
Working in a bar.
Yeah, a bar where you're just going to be serving 35-year-old mums and dads who like to pretend they're still 18.
I will say
Saturday
one thing:
night.
A lot of the girls that went to the interview were extremely hot. I just
it's a good thing you won't be working with any of them then, because they turned you down. Bad luck, eh? That was mean, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I'm going to cry now.
Good. Okay.
How do you speak to all of them? They were all very nervous because they all had to take it in turns to stand up in front of everyone and talk about yourself.
So then you should try and find one of them again and say, "Oh yeah, I did really badly in that interview on purpose because." I thought that'd be a good line.
Rudy's is coming out the lines. Quick, get a piece of pen and paper. No, I'm recording anyway. I can listen to this show later.
Honestly,
there was one girl that
I suck because I wanted you to get the job.
Play it like you gave up something great so they could get it.
But this shows me all over. It was like there was a girl that took a bit of interest, but I really wanted to go home because I was hungry. So when I finished, just went and got in the car and went.
So you're the first guy that I know that listens to his stomach before something else.
Food. I knew that if I didn't get home in time...
You see, anyone else's package would be screaming far louder at that point than their stomach.
I have
package is worn out.
I've had a problem with my stomach for the last 4 years. You know that thing that says...
You've had a problem with your package for the last 4 years as well.
I know, that works fine.
My junk is all messed up.
You have something to eat and you take that last bite and you're like, oh, I'm full now. Mine doesn't do that, it just says you're still hungry, and I'm like, I know, I must be full by now.
You should be an absolute fatty then.
Getting there. It switches
yeah, but it's
on
not
five.
Like you weigh like 30 stone, or like
no,
you know,
anyway,
600 pounds.
I weighed myself today because we got a new set of scales, I weigh 30
If you
stone.
Did, you'd have 13. To get a new chair.
You weigh 2 stone more than me.
I used to weigh, that's the thing, before I finished college, I went through most of college only weighing 9 stone.
Many turn into a fat bass at a uni.
I know, I weigh
absolutely
nothing.
Run.
Why do you think I can like jump off launch ramps on my rollerblades and do like 540 spins in the air and clear my own height? I wouldn't be able to do that now. I've tried it. I just about get about like a metre and a half off
that's
the floor.
Right, you bendy leg motherfucker. Rollerblades are crap anyway.
Oh, they're good. I'm still better at snowboarding.
Rollerblades are for middle-aged women who like to find an alternative way to exercise.
What about snowboarding?
Other than power walking. Snowboarding's alright because I've done that. I can't criticise it.
Yeah, I rock at snowboarding.
I have actually tried rollerblading as well. I just couldn't do it, so I decided it was
my,
shit.
My favourite
I can't do is rubbish.
My favourite trick is jumping up in the air and crossing my legs and grabbing my feet. Which is cool.
That just sounds like a disco move.
Yeah. Let's carry on with the show because we're getting way off topic, but it's cool.
Spore!
By EA.
Sucks.
If it's in the game, it's not actually in our version of the game because we stripped it all out to make a quicker version that we could bring out on the 360. Should be their byline. It's a Maxis title, isn't it?
Yes, it's developed by Will Wright.
The people who brought us Life Simulator, i.e. The Sims.
And more importantly, Sim Ant.
Sim Ant, more importantly, that groundbreaking title that was Sim Ant.
Or even more importantly, Sim City, where there are probably many ants.
There would be actually, yeah.
Did they make the one, the New York one? Or is that
No, that's
Tokyo, New York, which tried to kind of steal the SimCity bit and mix it up with The Sims, and apparently
failed
didn't
miserably.
Do that well. Yeah.
That's a question I need to ask. Has they brought out that Sims Online yet? Because I keep seeing...
Then it's not happening in the UK.
Yeah, thought as much.
It had issues in the US.
It had issues with paedophiles. This is my online persona. Look, I'm a 13-year-old boy on the screen. I'm actually a 45-year-old man sweating at home while talking to you.
Oh, the image you got in my head.
I only need one hand for the mouse.
You've got it. You're putting images in my head.
The other one's free to do what I wish.
He's putting it in the drawer. He's putting it in the drawer.
Hello, little girl. Come and sit on my knee.
Have you ever seen Malcolm in the Middle, where they actually use that to their advantage? They start chatting up to some guy that was pretending to be about 14, and he goes, "No, this guy really." He's telling his brother this guy really is around about 40, and he says, and he started telling him that he really wanted to meet him. Oh. And they were pretending to be a little girl, and this 40-year-old is pretending to be a bloke, and he ends up sending them tickets, and he stood there at the train station with a sign with his name, and it's just Malcolm and his older brother get off the train and walk right past him after this guy sent him train tickets to be able to get to that place.
Awesome.
Good way to get a free ride somewhere across the state.
Good thinking, Brutus. Right.
Anyway, why is Spore so great, or why is it, well,
bunch
why
of,
is
shut
it?
Up, bunch of new Spore crap released. And we've had a trailer released and a bit more gameplay footage and some footage of the editor, which looks cool.
That was the trailer where they showed him blowing up because of no atmosphere or something when they dump him on the ice planet.
That was a bit of gameplay footage.
Yeah.
Mm. One thing that I do like about this is the whole fact that the animation...
www.sporeportal.com.
Plug over.
Plug it in, plug it over. One thing I do like is the fact that the animation reacts to if you change the length of your foot or change the whole pivot points. It will.
So it essentially puts animators out of a job.
Yeah.
Great, so you're stuffed.
Yeah. But then...
3 years down the tube.
That's computer gaming. It's what they've always wanted, you know. Animation. Pure animation
is what they want is Visual Studio Gamer Edition, where you literally just type in what happened. You type in a storyline. Some guy sees something bad and he shoots stuff.
And the software makes
and then you press enter and boom, the software makes the whole game.
You're starting to sound like a 2D-er. We had this problem at university, the 2D-ers used to take the piss of us saying, you just press a button, it does it all for you. It's like, you try and work with a PC program, all it wants to do is say, sorry, we're going to crash. Go back to your PC, say, sorry, I still want to crash.
It sounds like Paul's build a Vista.
Hey, this is solid.
This
I
is
want
why,
to crash.
If you look at the first years, they're always whinging, but by the time you get up to the third years, you watch them, and it's like every, like, I don't know, 128 seconds to save. Save. You're permanently saving every...
I've not saved this for 31 minutes, so if it does crash, we're buggered.
Yeah, right. That's the
I hope we were taking notes on what we've said.
Anyway, we have Spore. Effectively, what, you start off as a single-cell organism and...
We've talked about it before in a previous episode. I don't know what fucking episode it is, so go and look it up on the site, gamercast.net. It's a game where you control... You start off as a single-celled organism, and you essentially bum around, you know, you eat stuff, you get a bit bigger, and the next generation, you can tweak the generation a bit.
Mm.
So you can, you know, add a spiky thing on it, and so on.
But the cool thing is there are things trying to eat you.
Yeah.
But
so you're not the top of the food chain.
No, but like Paul said...
Unless, of course, we develop a super dude with, like, machine guns around him. Eat that, you white blood cell.
Eventually you can actually give him a flying saucer that kills everything, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Essentially you develop a spaceship, which is the uber super weapon.
Mm. So you can go around bombing other people's planets. One thing that I do like about it, which I hope to keep in...
This is Will Wright bombing other people's planets.
Is
I like The Sims. Click to go to sofa. Watch TV. Blow the planet up! Doom!
It's the fact that all the other planets and some populations on your own planet are actually created by people playing the game.
So another way to save money is to make all the users create all the content for
right,
you.
Right, exactly. If you just give them a...
That's all the modelers
just give them just give them the scenery and then just let them do all the rest of it. So really, it's, you know, EA at its best, doing as little as possible for maximum profits.
And actually making a decent game out of it.
To be fair, this game has been in development for 5 years now.
It better be good when it comes out. But
so, although the user seems to create the whole game, they've been faffing around for a while.
To be fair, you know, I hadn't seen too much on it, and from what I saw from the trailers and so on, they were quite good. So,
I must admit, it's nicer to watch the
trying
really
my best to be non anti EA here.
Yeah.
Maxis, Will Wright, he's still a genius, even though he's corrupted by the filth of the EA.
So we'll just praise Maxis and forget about EA altogether.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
If you watch the larger trailer online where it's actually the demo and he's going through every stage and telling you about it, because you're not actually just trying to make your own presumptions of what the hell's going on the screen, that's where you start getting the whole love for it, because you realise that there's so much difference between each level of the generation of your character.
You can really make so much stuff.
The game starts changing completely differently. That, you know, the whole cities that are popping up, you can grab hold of the roofs and say, right, it's going to look like this, and all the roofs will change so that everything's completely customised, which helps with that whole aspect that other people are making all the other planets. It's just going to look so wacky and different on every single
planet.
Then
essentially it works out what the most popular stuff is and distributes it to everyone on the network. And once you get into the space age game where you're flying around the galaxy and visiting other people's systems, that's really other people's systems and other people's actual creatures.
You mean actual real people's?
Yeah. Although you're not directly playing against them, their content is
synced
over.
Once you get into the space...
So one day I might well find your fucking Care Bear mooping around on some planet, and then I will blow that planet up, and then I will laugh, and then I will do it again and say, shit, I should have recorded that.
But the cool thing is,
I've blown it up forever.
He would blow it up, and that means that he has wiped out my species.
Bye.
But the cool thing is, my species, from my point of view, is still rocking, and you can still come and find my species and do whatever you
and
want.
And then we can record your destruction.
Okay, so effectively, if that's the case, if he still carries on and playing as a species, does that mean that eventually the network will redistribute it again to your version, or will they be gone forever on your version?
Well, I hope they read it, because the galaxy actually has something like 2 million systems, or something ridiculous, so I mean the chances of actually finding it again
is pretty slim,
Which gives it a nice aspect that you're not only, there's nothing to do with
trying to find your
own friends.
You play it for 20 years, going on each system, is that Adam?
You know, there's no
and then
point.
You suddenly realise you're a fat bastard clicking on little stars.
And you're sweating.
So
with
we've
your hand
established
on the
that this is far too forward thinking and far too ambitious to actually ever be a success at retail. It's gonna be a fantastic product that is just gonna flop really again, like everything else that normally
The
does.
Sims didn't flop.
No, but that wasn't
everyone expected The Sims to flop.
I don't
flop.
Think it's quite as ambitious as this, and plus, you know, The Sims was just like, oh, play Big Brother on your computer.
I think The Sims had it was an intelligent move.
The Sims had the advantage of 13-year-old girls that just like to watch people live.
Yeah, it was that. It was
now who's the paedophile?
No,
I sell to these.
It's a good sell.
Now
how many copies of The Sims have you sold to a little girl?
It's like
zero.
It's like what?
That's because you won't sell EA stuff.
It's
just
like
it to me to sell.
The 360 and Nintendo. Nintendo are trying to be able to play with any age.
We're talking about
people.
Spore.
And let me finish. And the 360, they're trying to broaden that horizon. And that's what they've done here, is they've decided
it's a PC game.
Market to a different people. It's instead of going for the bread and butter, which are us, they decided to go for people that aren't necessarily us. And more people are getting into games. Look how many people we used to have bringing in their smaller kids. And every generation.
Trying to trade them in.
Yeah, we've had a couple of those that have done that. No, we don't want your kid. Will I have him? He looks strong. We can put him in, make him do the deliveries.
To be fair, our deliveries don't weigh that much.
We just sell a team member in the boxes there. We're not going to let you out until you sort this mess.
You've actually got a work experience kid at the moment.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a fucking noob.
He's a noob.
I told
is
him
he
yesterday.
From another country and he's like trying to get
No. He's from Stanchester School, which might as well be another country as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, definitely. Glad I didn't
get I told him to listen to GamerCast yesterday and he had no clue what was going on. So
that's because he's a Mac user.
Yeah, he's a fucking Mac user.
Well,
he has a Macintosh.
We'll get Damien to show him how to do it.
No, you'll find that a Mac logs onto the GamerCast site and nukes it accidentally somehow.
Well, GamerCast runs on Linux, so we're sorted. Linux powered. That's why it doesn't fucking work half the time.
Get a better server.
Oh, you know that thing you showed me, Paul?
Not paying for it.
Oh, you know that thing where you said... Yeah, I like to point at the screen. It makes me feel...
Everyone knows exactly what Adam's pointing at, because, of course, this one's...
I am pointing at a word. Now I'm pointing at Start. Start menu. Programs.
Got the voice recognition on, they could have just done that.
You know that video you showed me where I'm a PC, I'm a Mac.
The new Apple adverts.
Yeah, they've done that on PvP, and then they got someone to say, I'm Unix. You want to see the picture of really droopy, supply geek with glasses. bring it up. Go on to the explore.
I don't want to risk.
Oh, you're
crashing.
That's not crashing.
I did actually like that thing. I did like that Mac piss take that they did that you showed me with the editor. Right?
Yeah,
and so he smashes up the Mac.
That was from the Switch campaign.
Yeah.
There was a lot of videos like that around.
And ended up, I think the ending line was, "What was it? Mac killed my only son." I thought that was
Mac killed my inner child.
That was it. I thought that was quite a good way of putting things.
Yeah, because the kid didn't have an Xbox either. He's got PS2.
All right.
I think I've convinced him to trade the PS2 in, but you get 50 quid for that and you can buy an Xbox for 50 quid.
I think he is actually quite interested in the Xbox, isn't he? The only reason he said he didn't want one, little work experience kid, was because he spent so much money getting all the games he had on his PS2 now.
Yeah, Tusha.
But I just thought, just trade him in and buy
his
the better
his favourite games was Underworld and...
That's a good point, he did like the Underworld movie game, which is awful. And he did like the cheapo version of Heroes of the Pacific.
Some people have just got different tastes, like the same with movies, I suppose.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean they're right.
No, not
saying unless they agree with me, they're wrong.
But it's like me, I transferred across. There were many reasons why I went from PlayStation 2 to Xbox. Paul was one of them, Halo was another.
Yeah, I was one of them.
Because you wouldn't shut the hell up.
And the last one was the fact that I stopped buying games from a PS2 because I couldn't find anything I liked. I had every single decent game.
The main contributing factor to me getting my Xbox was the fact that I started a new job that didn't pay me for about 3 months because they messed up. So I got a big lump sum that was enough to buy an Xbox. So I just went out and blew it on all of that and 4 games.
Do you remember me buying my Xbox?
No.
Where I came in and the manager, he put it all the way through to tell me how much I would get.
Oh, then
I
wasn't working there then.
Oh no, you weren't. That was when I was working there full time. And
oh, I remember.
I got all.
You were working there full time.
You know what I mean? Not temp. Crap.
Man, that's like old school.
And
well, you were definitely there. You've been there since the beginning.
They
of
scanned.
Time.
I can't remember that long ago.
Yeah. And they scanned in all my stuff, gave me a price, and then I walked over to try and pick what I wanted. And then when he came, there's a massive queue. I'm there an hour before work. And he turns around and says, "Can you do this after work?" And I was like...
Yeah, I told you to go to Game Station.
Yeah,
I remember that.
You and Chris were like, go to Game Station.
It was Bill, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
It was Bill. And I was like, damn it. So I shoved all my stuff back in the bag, went all the way up to the Game Station, and they tried to pull this really dodgy deal with me with a pre-owned copy of Halo, and he didn't want to give me the DVD remote, and... this, that, and the other, and they were like, "Oh, throw in a magazine." As soon as I said, "Yeah," and that's crap because I work a game, and that's what I was going. They were going to give me this. I'm just coming up because they're busy, and they were like, "You work a game?" And I was like, "Yeah." So they basically gave me the deal that they were going to give me a game, and they made it cheaper. I then still threw in the free magazine.
Yeah.
As soon as I came down, and Bill came up and said, "Right, are you ready to do it?" And I would get bitten into my uniform, and I kind of like pulled out the game station bag, and I was like, "I've already got it."
Yeah. The look on his face that day, I was like, "Yes, eat that, you fucking bastard."
I was like, I was in.
From what
hour.
I could tell, he was clueless about everything.
But
yeah.
the fact, gee, you're spending, a couple of hundred quid, and he's faffing around saying, "Can you come back later?" No, fuck off.
You might get to see him again soon. He turns up for the stock take sometimes. He was up at
5:30. Yeah, he was up there the last time.
Oh,
okay. He said I looked as miserable as ever. Fuck you.
He looked really old compared to when he was managing.
He's getting wrinklier.
He looked
Simon,
really...
Simon looked really hardcore.
Yeah, I wasn't there for that.
He was like,
when he was there. I was really, really disappointed.
I haven't seen Simon in ages. He was one of my favourite managers.
Simon was a nice guy.
Annie was good. She was a slave driver, but she was good.
That was
serious awkward. That was when we were at EB.
We've both been there since the beginning.
That's what I mean. I've been there since
this
EB.
This is turning more light onto my theory that you were actually born in 1948, Paul.
I think we said 1953.
Well, you decided 1953, didn't you? Because that was the death of Stalin? Yeah. What were you? The new Stalin reincarnated that time. Eventually kill everyone.
My mum says my birthday explains everything because she went to see Empire Strikes Back with me inside.
So I bet that's why you're such a Star Wars thrall.
Right,
no, it was actually my godmother. She gave me the Millennium Falcon for Christmas on my third birthday.
The real one?
No, toy one. But as far as I was concerned, it was the bread and butter of all my toys and everything went inside it.
Right, are we done? Because we've been going for over an hour now.
Yeah,
I suppose so.
Yeah.
Seeing as that last part had nothing to do with any games or anything. Apart from a game store.
So unless we can suddenly think of something in the next 10 seconds, we're finishing.
10.
9.
No.
8.
Paul owns
7,
Red Alert 2 even though he
6,
said it was shit.
It is shit. 5. Well, I know it's shit because I fucking bought it. 3. 2. 1.
Bye.
Not yet. We've got to do the intro.
We're going to do the intro. Right.
Feedback can be left at gamercast.net. You can send email to feedback@gamercast.net. And we encourage you to send audio clips of you talking about stuff.
Yeah, audio clips.
Some of the stuff that people have been putting in, like Killer Pants Mafia, it would be really nice that... We do like it when you send us mail, and we want more mail, more questions.
But
more
if you've got a microphone, then record it, and then it can be like a phone-in type.
Yeah, that's what we wanted, because fair enough, the Arnold Schwarzenegger one was a bit of a
It was
funny to do against, but...
15 seconds of fame.
It would be nice to actually have someone actually verbally sending their question, and...
I'd like to hear Rude as Nizzle. Yeah. Actually said by someone, but actually said by the person who came up with it.
Rude as Nizzle.
That'd be nice.
And you can also talk about stuff on the forums at portalforums.net.
Oh, and don't forget, you can get your Gamercast t-shirt, can't you?
Yep, Gamercast t-shirts are now available at cafepress.com/gamercastshop. And you can buy them and give us loads of money.
Yeah, they're cool.
They have Gamercast written on them.
They do have Gamercast written on them, and that Paul came up with.
We want to have it so people can send in a few pictures of what they think we should have as an alternative Gamercast.
Yeah, if you've got some logo stuff for t-shirts, that's cool.
As a competition, you win our respect if you send us a good logo that can make us money.
You don't win the t-shirt.
You don't win any money, but you get our ultimate respect.
But you can buy it if we pick the winner.
And we'll also say that you did it, so you get a little bit of...
Street cred.
We might put your name on the back of the t-shirt.
Gamercast is so cool.
This is Gamercast t-shirt made by such and such person.
I propose we rename this Nerdcast. Well, we all play RPGs. We're all nerds.
That's true.
Rocket Burnout Grenade.
Role-playing game.
I couldn't help myself.
We all play with Rocket Propelled Grenades. I wish I did. I really
That's
wish
why
I
we're
did.
All
but
bits of stuff on the ground.
I'm not willing to go to Baghdad to do that.
That's what my dad thought I was on about when I started saying I was playing RPGs. You mean, is that like the BFG?
I imagine you'd be questioning where you managed to get a rocket launcher from.
I presume that's what I was playing a game that had RPGs, because he's heard of BFG.
Which of course stands for?
Big Effing Gun.
No, it doesn't. It stands for Big Fucking Gun.
I didn't want to say the fucking guns.
Well, they do the graphics cards now, don't they? The BFG overclock ones, Big Fucking Graphics.
Yeah. It should sue them over that. Should the Friendly Giant people.
They look like reasonably good. Yeah, well, the Friendly Giant people could sue id.
I like the fact that they managed to actually get the BFG in the film. That was the only highlight of
I've still not watched the film. I should watch that.
There was one short sequence in there that's fantastic, which is a bit where they go into the Dean perspective.
First person.
Yeah, exactly. And they follow that around, and that was actually really cool. Even though it wasn't like quite like Doom, it was just, you know, it was funny.
Yeah,
it was amusing because, you know, they blatantly looked at the game and just been like, yeah, why the hell not? And it was also the first time I'd ever seen that done in the film, and it worked surprisingly well.
Yeah.
Plus, it was quite funny because all the zombie type people that popped up in it, they all seemed to come up, all the enemies, with smiles on their faces. Before he blew their heads off, they're like, yeah! And then he, like, blew their heads off, which is kind of cool. I like that.
Okay, so are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
That's bye from me.
Bye from me.
Yeah, from him.
And bye from me as well. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.